Thank you, Abraham. It feels great to be here. I'd like to explain about my brother. His name is Larry. He was born with an umbilical cord wrapped around his throat, lack of oxygen. He's a cerebral palsy. And he has a lot of love in him. He's somewhat savant. I'm one of his caregivers. My parents are deceased. And he has to be taken care of for the rest of his life. It's really difficult for me to communicate with him. He's very pragmatic. As a matter of fact, the other day he lost a baseball cap and asked him where it was, and he said, it's somewhere. And he's right. And I come from a holistic background. I work on him, I do what I can, but he does not get specific answering questions. So I would like to have some insight from you, Abraham, how I can align myself with him vibrationally.
Well, you went right to where we were going to take you with your last part of your question, because we wanted to eventually bring you to the place of remembering that you are all first and foremost vibrational beings, and you can communicate with him through the power of your aligned thought, and you will discover it to be much more satisfying than even the most specific, deliberate conversations that you have with the most linguistic among you. We want to tell you a little bit about him first, because we want to remind you that all of you are source energy predominantly, and you make a decision to project some of that consciousness into this physical body. And without exception, you know from that source energy vantage point exactly what you're coming into. In other words, there are plenty of babies that are born stillbirth because of exactly what you are describing, who the consciousness said, that wasn't exactly what I had in mind, I'll wait for another go-around, and they just don't come forth and inhabit that body. But plenty of them do come forth because they want the unique experience of being alive in a physical body and outside of the parameters of the demands of others who seem to think that they have the right to demand that you conform to their idea of behavior and society so that they can feel better as they observe you in your conformity. But every now and again, brilliant teachers and masters say, oh, I think I will do something differently this time. I think I will come forth and I will be outside of the box enough that you will not be able to pound me as a square peg into a round hole. I will be uncontrollable. I will be unconforming. I will be uniquely that which I am, which means you will, if you're going to give any attention to me at all, you will be in a position where you must discover unconditional love.
Yes.
Because I will be unconditional. You will not be able to change the conditions of what I am so that you can feel better. So if you are to view me for your entire life, and if you are to seek the joy that is natural to you, then you will have to find a way of discovering joy without me doing anything to try to help you do it. What a gift someone like that brings, because children who are born normal don't have a chance. Why do you think they call that the formative years? It's the years that you form your idea of how they should be over them, you see. And some come forth and they say, I will be non-conforming, and I will help you as the promise that we made to each other before either one of us were born. I will help you to discover the freedom that only comes from unconditional love. Conditional love says, put him in a school, take him to an expert, try to socialize him, try to teach him to be more like it would make me feel better if he bees, and when he improves, I'll feel better. Unconditional love says, he is that which he is. And like everyone in the universe, there are so many aspects that I can focus upon this amazing person and line right up with who I am. And there are so many aspects that I could focus upon and come out of alignment with who I am. This is an exaggerated version of that, you see.
Well, he is my teacher. There's no question about that.
And you are his teacher. You are co-creators in this wonderful environment of difference, of contrast, a variety. So often physical friends seem to think that they would like a very feathered nest. It's as if they wanted to say, I'll come forth from non-physical, but get everything ready for me before I get there. I'd like the perfect body, and by that I mean the one that most people in society will find pleasing. I would like a perfect environment, and by that I mean an environment that most people would find pleasing. And once you get all the problems worked out, then I'll come forth and I'll just observe my perfect environment and I'll live happily ever after. And we say, now that would be an environment of endedness. Fortunately, that will never be. Because without the variety and contrast, there would be no expanded idea. And friends, you live for the expanded idea. Your brother is showing you how with an expanded idea, there can be acceptance of where you are, which allows the expanded idea. That's why you find him brilliant. He is. He has insights that most people that you know will never have because he is in a state of allowing in a much stronger way than most people that you know.
I agree, yes.
When you understand that you are all vibrational and you decide that he is a vibrational being who's decided to be predominantly vibrational even in his physical form, then begin observing how much he communicates through his body language, through his attitude, through his mood, and how little necessity there really is for language. And then make a decision that you will communicate with him on an emotional level. In other words, decide that what you really want to tell him is how much you love him. Not with words. What you really want to tell him is how much you love him. So before you see him next, sit with your notebook and write your list of the things that you love most about him. And read it and activate it. Within yourself, activate it within yourself until you're just oozing this feeling of appreciation for him. And then join him, and without offering any words, because words aren't necessary, just offer that vibrational state and watch what happens to him. Watch how quickly he responds to that vibration. You see, we stand on Esther's head in all kinds of ways, offering you process after process, year after year, to help you to return to your natural state of vibration. And he never left his natural state of vibration. So there he is, serving as a powerful catalyst, showing you that if you want to communicate with him, you have to get in touch with the vibrational nature of your being. You have to get in touch with the emotional nature of your being. And when you do, you will have the most satisfying conversations. Are any of you lovers? Have you been lovers? Have you ever had a lover? And have you not adored those times when no words were necessary? Where you were so in tune with one another? And so on the same vibrational wavelength that you could just look into one another's eyes and convey worlds of information as you express to them through your vibrational knowing the depth of the nature of your being and the depth of your understanding of the nature of their being. Don't you love to see the world through the eyes of Source? We want you to understand that Source doesn't blabber all day, every day. Source is not communicating through words. Source is communicating through vibration that you are synthesizing through the different physical facilities that you have. You see and hear and taste and touch and smell. But you are decipherers of all of this. You don't need your language. It only enhances. But you know what? Often your language ceases to enhance and begins to hinder. When you say to your child, don't you know I love you, when you are so angry you'd like to strangle the little monster? Don't you know I love you? You give them such mixed messages. You speak the word of love while you offer a different vibration. When you pretend you are brave, when you are frightened, you give mixed messages. In other words, humans have come to use their language so irresponsibly as you try to create through word and action when really everything is responding to your vibration, to your thought, to your gut, to the way you feel, you see. So your brother says, I will come and I will be a real person who's a real extension of source energy. And I will remind you that you are an emotional being who needs not words. You can create everything that you want by establishing the feeling of it. You don't need words to describe security. Feel the feeling of security. What does it feel like? Does it need words or is it a feeling? You don't need words to describe love. Do you need words? What is love? What is love? You don't need words to describe worthiness, autonomy, well-being, security, source, love, joy. Watch the children. Do they? Well, Esther and Jerry did see one little boy in an elevator one day. He was jumping up and down and he was saying, happy, 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 happy. But we got to tell you, his words were not necessary. It was so obvious that he was so happy, you see. And so we adore that your brother came to you, and we adore that you have come to him, and we adore that you have come to all of us, and that you have reminded us here that you are beings who are emitting vibrations. Tend to your vibration and don't worry about your words for a while. And bring yourself into vibrational alignment with the love, with the worthiness, with the security, with the well-being that is source. And then watch what happens. Jerry and Esther walk through the gardens everywhere they go. They try to stop and find the botanical gardens or the wildlife refuges, the places where the beasts are thriving and romping. And what they discover is that when they first get there, the beasts hide from them. But as they stay for a little while, they start showing up. They come out to say, "We will let you see us because we can feel that you are one of us. You are someone who sees the world as we do. You look through your eyes of your individual perspective, and you look for the best feeling thing that you can find, and you use that as your excuse to align with source energy, and you are someone worth meeting on this trail, the elusive silver gray fox that the ranger says you'll never see one. I've never seen one. I've been in the park for 15 years. I've never seen one." Esther said, "There's one." "Well, what do you know? There's one. The Stellar Jay. He's in the brochure, but you are unlikely to see the Stellar Jay," they said, "at Bear Lake." So Esther said, "What a beautiful bird. Have you ever seen anything the color of that?" And Jerry said, "It will be fun to see him." And then Jerry said, "There he is." And then the Stellar Jay flew from the top of the tree and landed on the fence post right there and said to them, "I know you think I'm beautiful and I agree with you." "And I know you think you are beautiful and I agree with you." And then he said with his vibration, "I will spend the afternoon with you." And so Jerry and Esther walked this way, and the Stellar Jay waited and then flew and caught up, and then waited and flew and caught up. And the Stellar Jay escorted them the entire distance around the lake. And when Jerry and Esther left the park, they dropped their brochure off at the ranger station, and they said, "We saw a Stellar Jay." And the ranger said, "Well, you were very, very lucky." And Jerry said, "We are that way. We want you to know that words do not matter at all, that you are vibrational beings in a vibrational universe. Use your language to enhance your experience, but do not depend upon it. Use your words to speak about things that bring you joy, but do not try to create through your words. Let the vibration and the feeling come first, and any word and action that is inspired come second." That's what your brothers come to remind you of.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed.
Appreciate that.